I said, great. Would you like to have coaching? And we can bring you to coaching. Cause she wants, she's like, oh, I want to become a hitter, a better hitter. I said, I can work with you. And if you want, I can sign you up for coaching. There's this great coach two towns over. And so we've been paying for private coaching for that. So I provide the fuel to help them, but I'm not going to force them and say, hey, you're going to play the piano. And then that would be providing the spark. So where I see their spark, then I'll provide the fuel. So I'll get lessons, I'll get equipment, but I'm not going to force a particular sport or force a particular instrument.
When it comes to building a business empire online while intentionally cultivating a thriving life at home with kids, well, there is no roadmap. It's not easy. But the great news is, we're not alone. We live in a crazy world that is truly unlike any other time in our history. And if you're like me, you've got an impact of your own to make. But you're not willing to sacrifice your relationship with those that you love in order to get it. My name is Stephanie Dove Blake, and this is the Powerful Parenting Journey podcast, where we'll journey together to learn what it means to be a truly powerful parent. Let's go. Welcome to the Powerful Parenting Journey podcast. Today, I'm going to be chatting with Nick Pavlidis. And Nick is someone I met a long time ago in a mastermind and just an incredible father of two and husband of one. He is also the co-host of a personal growth and leadership podcast for kids. You heard that right. It's for kids. It's so awesome. It's called 5 Minutes with Dad. They have hundreds of episodes, and it's also been featured as a top kids podcast on parents.com, moms.com, board teachers, fatherly, and a whole bunch more. Professionally, Nick is a former lawyer and the founder of Authority Ghostwriting, Ghostwriter School, and also Beantown Books. He's an investor in and the CEO of a traditional publishing company founded back in 2003 that publishes approximately 200 books a year. And so I got to dive in with Nick and talk to him about how he podcasted through the years with his kids and the benefits of that and what that has meant for him and his relationship with his kids and his refinement of his parenting process. So you guys get comfortable. This is going to be a really good one. Welcome back to the Powerful Parenting Journey podcast. Today, I am with someone that I met in a mastermind. I mean, surprise, surprise. Isn't that literally most of my guests I've met somewhere in a mastermind? But that's, man, the best people that I've met in my life have been through these incredible masterminds. And I met this person so many years ago, but we've always stayed in contact through this mastermind. And I've just loved watching as he has grown his business. And just recently, another friend of mine reached out and was like, oh my gosh, you've got to have this person on your podcast because he just brings so much value to my life when it comes to my kids. And so I reached out to Nick Pavlidis, and he is here with me. And we're going to dive in to just what he's got going on in his parenting journey and what it's looked like for him. He has already kind of blown my mind on just some of the things going on in his life. So Nick, thank you so much for coming on. I really appreciate you taking the time.
Stephanie, my pleasure. I was honored when you said you had a list of people you really wanted on your podcast and none of them were available and asked me if I was available to jump on a quick Zoom with you. I was blown away.
Oh, so not true. You have been on my list for a long time. But Brittany Long, shout out to Brittany Long. She's amazing. She's the one who was just like, man, Nick just provides so much value in my life. You just really have to have him on. And so, but you really kind of blew me away, right? Whenever we started just kind of chit-chatting before, you know, hitting the record button, you talked about something that happened to you in high school where you literally lost all of your childhood memories. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, it was a Buick. I got hit head on. I was, it was 2 weeks before my 17th birthday. I was a senior. I turned 17 my senior year of high school. And I was an ice cream delivery guy, not a delivery ice cream truck, but an ice cream delivery guy where I'd work at an ice cream shop. People will order ice cream and I try to get it to their house before it melts.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So fortunately, I live in Massachusetts. So most of the year that wasn't a problem. But on September 11th of 1995, I was on my way back and someone was driving on the wrong side of the road, hit me head on. I had no seatbelt on. I was in a little Geo Tracker, which is a tiny car.
I remember those.
Yes. And so I didn't break a bone, but I had a severe brain injury. And if you look closely on the video, you can still probably see some windshield scars on my forehead. I was dead at the scene when they found me and I had no blood pressure, no pulse, unconscious, had a seizure. My hands were ripped open to the bone. And I was out for a while. Obviously, I came through. But one of the effects of that was that I had a whole lot of soft tissue and brain injuries and lost virtually all of my childhood memories.
Wow. So we're talking like clean slate here, right? Like
no memories. I have some deja vu and I have some pictures. Like I'll remember pushing my grandfather in a wheelchair at Disney, but I don't remember anything else about Disney. I don't remember anything. I just remember one scene almost where I was pushing him and it was downhill and I let go and memory stopped. I hope I caught him before he fell.
I do too. Yeah. I do too. Yeah. Yes. Well, you know, it's crazy because, as I told you before, it is kind of a crazy thing because I actually don't have, I mean, I was not in a wreck, but I don't have memories before I was 9, which was whenever the first time I really had stability in my life. And so it's so fascinating though, to think about how does that affect your parenting journey? Because a lot of people take what they remember from their childhood and they say, well, I won't do this, or I will do that, or this is how I'm going to be. But you know, having your children, you've got 2 kids, right? You've got a boy and a girl. And what ages are they again?
My son is 14. And he'll be 15 in a few months. And my daughter is 12.
Okay. So when they came into the world, you know, 14, almost 15 years ago, were there any thoughts around that as far as like, who am I going to be as a father?
Yeah. Well, there were a few things. Number one, I kind of have jokingly said to someone, like, I have no childhood memory. So my parents could have completely screwed up and they got a clean slate just like I did. My kids are most likely going to remember what happens in their childhood. So I can't screw this up. Right.
Right.
So there was that sort of like, you know, tongue in cheek, but it was something that was important for me to have said out loud. I am serious about that. Like, all right, this is what happens in the first 10 and 20 years of their life sets a foundation for some really important things. So if I can help create a perspective and some habits that'll serve them well, then I will feel that I have done at least a decent job. So that's been my focus. And I generally lead through filters and vision rather than strict rules. I used to tell my kids, I have 3 rules in the house. And if you follow these 3 rules, you're never going to be in a bad spot. And it's super simple. Eat nice, be nice, and sleep nice. If you like when they're 2 years old, like if you just eat nice, and that means you don't have to eat every single thing on your plate, but just eat food, not all junk food or whatever, and behave at the table. So we're not, you know, super stressed at the table. That's all I want. Be nice. Just be nice to people. Be nice to your, but you don't have to agree, but be nice about it.
Yeah.
And then sleep nice. You don't have to go to sleep the second you hit the bed, but everyone's in bed at 8 o'clock. You just have to be in your bed at 8 o'clock. You can do whatever you want in your bed. You can read books, you can talk, you can sing to yourself, but just eat nice, be nice, and sleep nice. So if you ask my kids to this day, hey, what were dad's 3 rules when you were a kid? Eat nice, be nice, sleep nice.
How did you come up with that, Nick? Where did that come from?
I have no idea. It was just so... Well, this sign, for those watching on video, this sign behind me was a podcast that I started with my kids. And it's a personal growth, self-help podcast, leadership podcast for kids. And we have 260-something episodes. I started recording with them when they were 2 years old and 4 years old. And wow. I actually had someone who was somewhat connected to the Guinness company reach out and say, you should apply for youngest podcast host award. And so he connected me with someone at Guinness. And they're like, yeah, she appears to be the youngest podcast host, but we don't like issuing world records for youngest things because people like to go skydiving and canyon jumping and things like that. But either way, being on that, we had 200 so many episodes. It just gave me a lot of opportunity to intentionally think about things that I wanted to share with my kids, number one. And number two, it caused me to look at our day-to-day interactions a little different, because what I did was I used our daily interactions to guide our conversations and teach lessons. So
Nick, I love this so much. So tell everybody the format, was this a weekly thing, a daily thing? And how long was the podcast? Like, how long did you guys chat?
Yeah. So it's called 5 Minutes with Dad. And the reason it's called 5 Minutes with Dad and not 45 Minutes with Dad is because imagine trying to keep a 4-year-old and a 2-year-old behind a microphone for any extended period of time. So we would record for a while, but then I'd only get about 5 minutes of usable audio out of it.
Yeah.
So, but it was, especially at the end as they got older, because we recorded all the way into 2023. And then we took a break because the kids are in, my daughter's in travel softball and my son is playing basketball. And so there's, I never wanted it to be a chore. So we generally did it weekly, but over those 10 years, we probably ended up every other week or so because we have, or 8 years, we have 260 something episodes. And so I would look at those conversations and the flow was, we'd share a joke of the week. We would share a resource of the week, some toy or book or something that they liked. We actually never shared electronics as a resource of the week, not because I'm completely against electronics, but we just didn't want to have that be something that we influenced another kid to have conflict with his or her parents about, oh, resource of the week, this video game, I want to play it. 5 minutes with dad talks about it. Because we actually built a pretty decent audience. We were named in Parents Magazine as a top kids podcast, Time Out New York, moms.com, board teachers, like all, and like we're still named in like all these, you know, top 10 podcasts for kids lists from time to time. And we haven't released an episode. So we really took seriously the ability to influence people and were careful about it. So I would look at things and that's how I would come up with, hey, it's super simple, only three things. I'm naturally one of those, how can I simplify things? People, it was just part of a conversation. Hey, there's only three rules. Eat nice, be nice, sleep nice.
That's so cool, Nick. That is so cool. And so guys, as you're listening to this, you know, I know we've talked about this a lot on the podcast, but I believe that the key to what's happening with our children in this world is connection. I believe that kids know that we love them and they feel like they have a place to belong only through connection. And what a crazy, incredible, wonderful way to connect with your kids, just start a podcast with your kids. I think that's incredible. Did you guys do all of the editing and publishing and stuff? Did you handle all that yourself?
Yeah, I did. And it was just audio only. I didn't want my kids to be, to become celebrities or known or whatever. Their voice could be known, but they can walk around in public. And there were some pictures of them as part of our show notes and stuff. But yeah, we recorded. At first, we just plugged in a microphone into the side of the computer and I would hand it to them, interviewing them a little bit. We kept it super relaxed and low pressure. We recorded when we had something to talk about, but I also paid them for the episodes so they could learn that, like we used to, one of the episodes, we talk about money. How do you get money? You go, where's the best place? It's a Dave Ramsey line. Where do you, where's the best place to go if you need money to work? And so my kids would learn that. And so I'd pay them. At first it was four quarters and now it's $20 an episode. And they divide it into giving, saving, spending, and investing. So my daughter and my son, both of them, but my daughter tends to want to buy more things than my son. And they learned really quickly, instead of asking me for $20, they would ask me, can we record three podcast episodes? Because they know there's money would be that.
That's so cool. And I love the correlation there because they're creating something. They're putting something out into the world and they're getting paid for that. Like, that's pretty darn cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
I love that. I love that.
Hey, powerful parents, Stephanie here. I hope you're enjoying the show so far. Did you know that statistics show that 88% of Americans say they eat dinner with their family every night or a few times a week? I think that's a pretty awesome stat. But if you're anything like me and you're an entrepreneur, then after a day filled of putting out fires and maybe various events testing your patience, sometimes it's hard to think of questions that can help you really connect with your kids beyond the standard, how was your day? When my kids were just littles, I put together a list of questions to solve this problem and to help us have something to connect with over dinner time. And now I would love to share my curated dinner questions with you. This is good for littles and for bigs. There's lots of different varying questions in there. And these questions are going to help to ensure that the conversation is not just lively, but will bring you closer to your children while you enjoy a delicious meal together. As a listener of this podcast, you can get access to these questions at www.powerfulparentingtribe.com. Once you're there, make sure to type in your best email, and I'll have my team shoot over the questions for you. Once you get the questions, I encourage you to make this a family affair. Print them out. Have your kids help you cut them out. We even grabbed a mason jar and my kids decorated it. And that's where we put all of our questions. And that same mason jar still sits on or near our dinner table to this day. We've been using these questions for close to 8 years now. And I've really enjoyed the fun conversation and connection that's come from them. I hope your family enjoys them as much as mine have. Again, that's www.powerfulparentingtribe.com. Now back to the show.
Okay. So you've been recording this podcast with them, and I know you had mentioned previously, so you've got your three main roles. And then you also said you have a three-part parenting philosophy. Yeah. Can you share the 3 points with me?
Yeah. I mean, it's really simple. So even in my businesses, I don't set super detailed goals, SMART goals, smarter goals, smartest goal, whatever. I create filters and a vision. I create a vision and then filters through which I can evaluate decisions as I go. So I do the same thing in parenting. And maybe that's how I came up with the be nice, eat nice, sleep nice. Naturally, just the way that I think, hey, let me give you a filter and you use that to make decisions. So for me, I have three philosophies. Number one is if they're making good decisions in general and treating people with kindness, I don't sweat the small stuff. So my son loves to play Fortnite, but he does really well in school. He has a great heart. He's nice to people. He eats nice. He is nice. He sleeps nice. So I don't sweat about that, even though I don't love the idea of video games and Fortnite. I don't really care that much, but I don't love the idea. I would rather him be outside and playing more basketball or something like that. But yeah, for me, I don't sweat. So if they're making good decisions and treating with people with kindness, I don't micromanage everything they do. The second thing is I never provide the spark to something that they pursue. So I let them provide the spark, but I provide the fuel. So if they like a sport or they like an activity, my daughter loves softball. She just caught the bug last year and she always played for the softball team. I coached her and she was always passive. Then something hit where she just caught the bug and loved it. And before she caught the bug, she liked it because she got to hang out with her friends. I didn't push her in any direction. But then once she caught the bug, I said, great, would you like to have coaching? And we can bring you to coaching because she's like, oh, I want to become a better hitter. I said, I can work with you. And if you want, I can sign you up for coaching. There's this great coach two towns over. And so we've been paying for private coaching for that. So I provide the fuel to help them, but I'm not going to force them and say, hey, you're going to play the piano. And then that would be providing the spark. So where I see their spark, then I'll provide the fuel. So I'll get lessons, I'll get equipment, but I'm not going to force a particular sport or force a particular instrument. And then the third one is I meet them where they are. So my son with Fortnite, for example, this is probably the biggest positive influence in pretty much every aspect of my life, but particularly in parenting, like with my wife. I don't love going to the beach. My wife loves going to the beach. But whenever I go to the beach, we have a great time. And my wife subconsciously associates me with that feeling that she gets had she been on the beach with or without me. So, right. So like I meet her where she is. She likes to do this activity. Great. Let's go. I'll make the best of it. I'll enjoy it. But she's like, man, Nick, that was so much fun. Wow. We had so much fun. And it had nothing to do with me. It was that I met her where she likes. So with my son, he asked me, he goes, hey, do you want to play Fortnite? It was probably like this interview. No one else was available. And I'm teasing. And like all of his friends were offline, whatever. So we played and I know nothing about Fortnite. So like basically I was jumping up and down, spinning in circles. And he went around and we ended up in like eighth place or something like that. I have no idea. But we had some really cool conversations. It was only 20 minutes or so, but we had really cool conversations. We just had so much fun together. And so now I'm actually hiring this 23-year-old guy who used to coach, I don't know, some other video game, like professional players who's really good at Fortnite. I'm hiring him to coach me. My son doesn't know about it, on how to play Fortnite so I can have a better experience with him. Even though I don't love video games and I don't play video games, but I'm learning so I can meet him where he is.
Bravo, Nick. I know you're not on here for that. But the reality is that's a really awesome thing to go that route and to actually put in the effort to learn something that isn't something you're really into. But it sounds to me like you're very in tune with being able to optimize life so that you can love well, like love the people in your life well. And that's what it is with your wife, you know, going to the beach with her. And that's really, really powerful, like to figure that out for each one of the people in your life that you love. I was curious about the never provide the spark, but always provide the fuel. Did that come from somewhere? Like, is there a story? I mean, I think that's so powerful. Like, is there a time in your own life where, you know, you've followed your own spark and, you know, created your own fuel is there any story to that?
Yes and no, probably not to that extent, but, I don't know about my childhood, but I do know that I used to be a lawyer for 13 years. I worked at a large law firm. They're like 700 lawyers, one of the top law firms in the world, top 100 law firms in the world, like really fancy, had a corner office overlooking Central Park. But I was miserable for a number of reasons. And in 2013, I quit that job for another law firm job while I tried to figure, or not law firm, another lawyer job while I tried to figure out what I was going to do next. And after about a year and a half, I discovered what my main business is. And I help thought leaders write books. So I'm a ghostwriter, and I help people write books in a way that actually creates a significant return on investment. There's a whole long story to that, which is not the topic for our conversation. But what's relevant to it is when you, I went to one of the, I'm not saying this to brag, but I went to one of the top law schools in the country. I spent a whole lot of money on my law degree. I was the only one who wasn't a partner to have a corner office at this 700 person law firm, like did really well, never lost a case. I was a corporate litigator and I was miserable. And then I essentially threw that all away to become a quote unquote writer, much to the excitement of my parents, I might add. But for me, I ended up like there was a spark towards the law. But then when I got into what it really looked like, it was just miserable for me. When I decided to quit to become a writer, there weren't a lot of people who thought that was a good idea. My mother was supportive, but supportive in a very passive way, not negative, but she's like, I'm not worried about you. You've never asked us for money. Like she was support. She didn't provide fuel, but she provided support. Like, and so that really made me feel good that she was supportive of it. And so for me, I just love, and I have this heart of I have a one sentence business plan with everything that I do. I own a few businesses now. And with every single one, we have a one sentence business plan. And that's, if I can help enough people become successful, I never have to worry about my own success. Mm-hmm. I'm a natural two on an Enneagram. I'm a helper. So for me, like and even with ghostwriting, like I had some guy who was miserable in a job making seven figures. And he said, Nick, if you can help me go from this job to a leadership consultant, this guy had nothing to do with leadership, leadership consultant, my whole world would be like completely different. And so I said, if you give me 3 years, not to write the book, but if you give me 3 years of consistent effort, you still have your full-time job, but consistent effort, I can help you with a plan. I can help you create the book. I can help you build the relationships. I think we can do it. And so literally 2019 in January, his book came out. December 31st, 2022 is his last day at his job, almost 3 years to the day. And he's now doing that. So I just get so fired up by helping find people's sparks and then being the fuel, no matter what I'm doing, whether it's writing or coaching or whatever. So I don't know the first time I said it that way, but that's just who I am to my soul.
Core. Yeah. To your core. Yeah. Oh my gosh. That's incredible. That is truly incredible. And I think that we all as humans, because it's in a form, whenever you're going to help somebody find their spark and to be the fuel to help grow that spark, it's an ultimately answers one of the main human needs, which I feel like is to be known, to be seen, right? And so, man, what a gift you have, Nick. That's incredible. And so with what you do right now with if you would just tell everybody exactly what you do, just outline it, is because your business is called Authority Ghostwriting. So tell us what you do with that.
Yeah. So the sort of mission is we help you write your content. We help you build your content so you can build your business. And so we always begin with the end in mind. The biggest mistake authors make is not that they write a bad book, it's that they write the wrong book. And if you write the wrong book, the worst thing that can happen is for it to be a runaway success, because it's going to attract the wrong people. It's going to lead, even if they're the right people, they're going to look at you the wrong way. And so what we always do is we dream. I probably should start calling it a spark session, where I dream with them and say, hey, if your life, if everything's going well 3 years from now, and you're just like completely, it's almost like that Dan Sullivan, if you and I were having lunch a year from now and everything's going great in your personal and business life, what would it look like? We have that type of conversation. And then we work backward and say, okay, for you to be living that life, what type of book do we have to start today? And what type of relationships do you need to build between now and then for prospects and referral partners for that to be the reality? And then what we do is we write the right book, and we use other content, articles, and email mostly. And then we write the right book, but then we use the content creation as a networking tool to build the relationship with future referral partners. So I, like, say I'm writing a book about parenting, and I want to be a parenting coach to entrepreneurs. So I would write the book to entrepreneurs, but then instead of just the book being all about me, I'd reach out to you and say, hey, Stephanie, I'm writing a book to entrepreneurs about parenting. I have a chapter on powerful conversations. I would love to feature you in that chapter. Would you be open to a quick Zoom with me to talk about some of your strategies? And you, even if we didn't know each other, right, it would be much more likely that you would say yes than if I just reach out to you on LinkedIn and said, hey, I think we could do good business together. Are you interested?
Yeah, totally.
So that's what we do. We build that content plan, and then we use the content not just to create effective content, but as a networking tool to build the relationships for you to be living that dream life. And that's what this partner, seven-figure guy to leadership thing did. He had leadership consulting, over $100,000 in leadership consulting booked the year his book came out from relationships he established during the writing process. And wow, he had never been a leadership person.
Wow. That's amazing. Oh my gosh. That's truly remarkable. And I just have to say, over the years, I've known people that have worked with you, and they just speak volumes about just how incredible you are. And it's obvious on the podcast. And so what I would love to ask is, so in parenting, you're building this incredible business. You're following your own spark, right? What are the things that you're seeing are working the best for you in parenting right now? Like, you've gone over these awesome rules that you have, simplified rules that are very mm-hmm. simple, but is there any one thing you can point to that's like, man, this is really working for us right now?
Yeah, for me, it's mirroring. So I never give my kids rules that I don't also follow. Mm. So when I am at the table, I don't have my phone out with me. I go to bed. I'm the first one in bed every night. And it's not like our dad's abandoning us. It's the night's starting to end. So I think just that authenticity, I eat nice, I be nice, and I sleep nice is super helpful. So consistency, simplicity, and authenticity certainly helps. I think that's the big picture thing. Yeah. But the thing that gives me the opportunity to do all that stuff, because I can do that, but if they don't see me do it, then what good is it? So is meeting them where they are. So my son loves basketball. So I got season tickets to the Boston Celtics, and I want to teach my kids generosity. So I tip big all the time, but I ask them to help me tip big. So like, we went out somewhere and they know I love to tip people $100 for like $20 ice cream bills or whatever. And so my kids will text me if we're in a car with an Uber driver. Oh, they've been so great. Can we tip them $100? So I think just being with them and doing the things that we talk about, it's really not much more complicated than that.
Yeah. Gosh, I love that. I love that. And that simplicity is ringing through in those things that are working for you. So Nick, what does it mean for you, for Nick, to be a good dad?
For me, I wouldn't want my kids to think of me as someone who had a lot to say, but someone who wasn't around. I don't have childhood memories, but I know that they value the time with me more than pretty much anything that I could give them. And I do know that my parents worked a lot when I was a kid. They still do. They're in their 70s and they still have a mom and pop little sandwich shop here in Massachusetts. And I do know that I played sports as a kid and that they rarely went to the games because they were working all the time. Mm. And so I coach my son in basketball. I coach my daughter in softball until she outgrew my team. But I think for me to be a good parent is more presence and consistency. So I want them to have memories of being with me as a kid.
Mm, that's a good one. That's so good. That is so awesome. We're coming up on time here, Nick. And so, but I just want to let everyone know, you know, how can they connect with you? Let's just say someone's listening, and for one, they want to reach out and just say, man, that was an awesome podcast, or someone's interested in working with you to write a book or get some get some help in finding their spark, where would they reach out to contact you?
The easiest way is just shoot me an email, nick@authorityghostwriting.com, or go to authorityghostwriting.com. Yeah, I'm on some of the social media sites, not very frequently, but you can find me on X and Instagram and Facebook. It's all at Nick Pavlidis.
Okay. Okay. I love it. I love it. Well, guys, if you've enjoyed this episode with Nick, please, please, please leave us a review, reach out to Nick and let him know. And I just want to say thank you so much for listening. And Nick, thank you so much. This has been, I mean, I knew you were going to bring some really beautiful value, but I think the way that you see the world and the way you look to simplify is something very unique and very special, and definitely something I'll be walking away with learning from. So thank you so much, Nick. I really appreciate you.
Oh, my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
I truly hope you enjoyed our episode today on the Powerful Parenting Journey podcast. Make sure to hit follow and subscribe so that you don't miss out on any upcoming episodes. You're not going to want to miss a thing, I promise. If you were impacted by this episode, do me a favor and leave a review with a comment. I read every one of them and I also pass them along to our guests. If this episode made you think of someone, go ahead, take a screenshot and share this episode with them or post it on your social media to share with friends. You can catch the show notes for this episode and any mentioned links at powerfulparenting.com/podcast. If you want to see more behind the scenes with me and my guests, be sure to find me on Instagram or Facebook. It's where we can have deeper conversations on these podcasts. Take care. And remember, it's not about being a perfect parent. It's about taking each day and working on showing up powerfully for our kids. They deserve it, and you are the parent for the job. See you on the next episode.